All right, welcome back to the briefing room. I'm Chris Gray.
I'm Jennifer Carell, and today we have two special guests. They are actually newly graduated from our local academy, and we have Officer AJ Raya and Officer Bobby Rodriguez. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
How you guys doing today?
Good. Early morning. Just getting after it again.
And you guys graduated from which academy and what class number?
We graduated from the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Academy, class 234.
Perfect. So, I mean, we're here today to talk a little bit about your experiences with the academy. You know, each of you have a different perspective. So, you know, just kind of off the top, what did you guys think? You know, are you glad to be done? Where are you guys at with the whole thought of it?
Right now, still trying to process it in. I'm still in that academy mentality, still coming into the department. But it was a very different experience, and I can't wait to go out and start working.
And I heard the academy is real easy. Like, you guys get to sleep in. The tax staff brings you breakfast. Is that kind of how it went?
I think that's in a dream. It's not quite that way. You know, the biggest thing is everything's for a reason. And you don't really see that while you're there. But hindsight's 20/20. And looking back, you know, the stress and the sleepless nights, it's all for a purpose, so it's just keeping that in mind.
What was it like day one? Like, day one, you guys are out there, you're on the grinder. Like, what was going through your minds?
What did I get myself into? a little bit, you know, there's loud noises. Like I said, there's some, can't give away all the secrets, but, and then you have people or the tax staff, you know, they're coming up and they're yelling at you. They're in your face. You're doing push-ups. You're running. There's people with belts around their heads. There's all kinds of, you know, funny things, but you get to look back on it and laugh now.
So there's physical stress, there's mental stress, there's, you know, obviously you've put your careers and your life on hold in order to go to the academy. You know, is all that all kind of playing a factor as you're going through the different modules and the different, you know, tasks to go and that you're trying to perform?
Yeah, definitely. The day-to-day over there is very different than just your regular 9-to-5 job. You're there getting stressed out. You still got to do homework. You still got to figure out what you're going to do the next day, prepare for the next day. And then on top of that, you've got to worry about your family time and all that. So a lot of it is put on hold, like what you said, but it's all for a purpose. And at the end of it, we all overcame it and we finished it.
So tell us about the homework. On average, you know, you've got usually some memos assigned to you from something that had happened either earlier in the day or, you know, some sort of disciplinary type memo. What does that look like for you guys on the daily?
Yeah, so it kind of just was dependent on the day. We had memos definitely weekly, not daily, especially to start. And those can come from something for your hair being too long, your boots not being shined. So it's disciplinary. But we also had memos just to help us learn and retain some of the information. So if we had learning domains to coming up week, three of them, we'd have a learning domain or a memo for each domain just to kind of help us get ahead and know what's to come. So it just was dependent on the day.
So like the first few weeks, like how many memos did you guys get? How long is a memo to write? And like what time did you guys go to bed? Like that's three good questions right there.
Yeah, so the memos were 3 pages long.
Ooh.
Yeah, had to be all uppercase, had a cover page, and then had about 2.5 full pages of just whatever that topic was on. Starting off, it is kind of troubling. If you don't know how to do it, you would be redoing it every single day.
Oh.
But, handwritten?
Yeah, and it's handwritten, okay. Yes. So it was very stressful at the time. At any point, I think at one point I had 7 or 8 one night that I had to be turned in the next day. And then after that, once you kind of get the hang of it, you start completing it, you start getting passes, and then it's from there. It's just like weekly. Whatever's coming for the next week, we'll kind of get prepared for that, and we would have to just write a memo for that.
On that night that you had 7 or 8 memos, how much sleep did you get?
I think I only had like 1 hour of sleep. And then I would have to be ready for the next 10-hour day.
And the day-to-day physical, what does that look like? How many push-ups, how many sit-ups, how many, you know, runs? What are you guys doing?
It was dependent on our dissertations and how we presented ourselves that day. But typically, you form up every morning and you do your push-ups before you get into class, and then you file in. And that's assuming that you do that with no trouble. But the first few weeks, probably first month, people struggle up top. Our class sergeant will struggle on the commands of how to even get you into class. So that adds to our push-up count, and we restart and whatnot. But and then other than that, it just was dependent, but we were probably doing on average at least 100 push-ups a day, if not more, just kind of dependent, as I said, on what the day entailed.
And the runs, about how long do they go for?
So the runs were typically no shorter than 4 miles, maybe 3 miles here and there, but they ranged anywhere from 4 to 7 miles. And the pace wasn't too bad, so that was kind of the lifesaver there. When you're running with 90 or 70 people, your pace is a little bit slower, so it's just kind of you got to find your groove and then get through that way.
Well, you guys are in pretty good shape, so I'm assuming that probably helped you guys out significantly. Like, how many people did you guys start that academy with, and how many did you end with?
I think we started with around 109, and then day one, I think we started with 98. A few people didn't want to show up for day one.
Wow.
So, and from there, a lot of people just started dropping. I think we finalized our numbers at the end of the academy, maybe the last 3 weeks, with 78 total for our class.
So about 30 people from the beginning to the end, you know, well, 109 to 79. But, you know, I mean, that's a tremendous amount. So what were the main reasons that people just couldn't hack it? Was it physical? Was it mental? Was it a little bit of everything, you think, or just?
I think it was a little bit of everything. A lot of it was, I think, mental. I think first couple of weeks, a lot of the people were probably contemplating if this was for them or not. Because the physical part, we just have to get through it. And there were a few people there that weren't physically ready, and they knew that from the beginning, so they didn't show up next day. But a lot of it was just the physical part and the mental part.
Okay.
Surprisingly, I think a lot of our, I think testing wise for our class, not a lot of people dropped from our tests.
Okay.
Yeah, I think only two people testing wise dropped completely from our class from testing. So a lot of it was just physical and mental part.
And the testing process, like, is that like from the books or scenarios, or can you kind of explain a little bit to that to our listeners?
Yeah, so the testing it ranged from everything. It was from EVOC, which is our emergency vehicle operations course, and then on the range shooting guns, we also had testing there. But a majority of it was from our learning domains, which would be our classroom portions of things. And there's about 40 different learning domains and 3 different tests. So we had 3 bigger exams, you can call them. So it was 100 questions, 150 questions, and then 200 questions, and it all built off each other. And that's just, you know, between laws and penal codes and whatnot.
So roughly a 6-month academy. You get there in the morning, you know, prepared and ready to go, and then you end, what, about 5 o'clock then?
Yeah, so our schedule was typically 7 to 4.
Okay.
But we would often end around 5, just kind of, again, dependent on, it was all based on our actions and our class and how you know, that dictated a lot of our days. But yeah, typically it was a 7 to 4 day. And then every once in a while we had 10-hour days, but, you know, there are 4-day weeks, 40-hour every 2 weeks.
So what's the biggest piece of advice for our listeners who are considering going to the academy? You know, obviously it's a paramilitary environment. You're getting yelled at. You're doing the physical. You're really studying on top of it. So it's almost paramilitary mixed with college all in one. But what do you think the best piece of advice would be for somebody who's really considering and, you know, kind of getting the idea of wanting to join the police department?
I would say everything's for a purpose, and just keeping that in mind. And everything gets better at some point. It's hard to see that when you're in the mix of it all, especially to start. There's so much thrown at you, so much stress that you're put under. But at the end of the day, it's all for a reason, because that's going to be real life in this career, as that's what they preach. And as I mentioned earlier, it's hard to see that while you're there, but that is the truth of it. And you start to see it as soon as you graduate. You're like, okay, well, all that stress and everything else, so sleepless nights are what it's going to really be like. And then also just knowing that everything gets better, and if you know, take care of yourself, you kind of alleviate some of that attention off of you.
Sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, and then for our listeners, for those of you that are like, oh, you know, it's hazing, or they're being mean to them, or why do they have to yell at them, or why do they have to have sleepless nights? Well, it is. It's all built upon, like, being able to perform in a stressful environment. Because I'll tell you what, as soon as you hit the streets, and San Bernardino is a busy city, you know, the LT and I have been here over 20 years, and when you go on like a shooting and there's like multiple people that are shot or a stabbing and people are yelling and screaming, like that is like high intensity.
Right.
And you literally go from like, you could be eating lunch 1 minute and like literally 30 seconds later, you are right in the mix. And it kind of goes like that, especially here in the summertime, like call after call after call, right, to where you're like, goodness sakes. Or even worse, when you go on like where officers get hurt, like that's when it's like, oh man, you got to be able to perform well under stress and being able to give directions to other officers to be able, because you still got a job to do. So there is a purpose to all of the madness. There is no doubt about that. So
I know throughout your and career and mine, you know, we've had the natural disasters, the fires, the riots. We've had a bunch of really busy stuff. And there's days that I know I've had 2 hours of sleep and had to come right back for another 12 or 18 hour day. You know, And with those riots, you know, you stand at attention, you get yelled at, much like the academy, unfortunately. You know, there is a lot of real life training that goes on from the academy that ends up projecting onto, you know, what your career may look like in the future.
And you two guys graduate with how many others for here that are hired for San Bernardino PD?
There's eight of us total.
Eight of you guys total. Us, yeah. And you two guys both did really well. Like, AG, I think you finished, like, at the top of your class. Is that right?
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to take home the academics award somehow. I pulled
Good
that off.
You.
And that's the overall GPA of all the testing that we did. And then I also went home with the overall, I guess you could call it, student award. And that was
excellent.
Built off of all the... but from the range to our classroom testing and the physical aspect.
Overall highest scores as an average.
Yeah, I was, I guess you could say, jack of all, master of none. But, you know, all combined, it was my averages were the highest.
Well, that's cool that you were able to do that. We do have a few others here at our police department that have taken home that same trophy. So kudos to you guys that have done that.
Thank
and then,
you.
Bobby, like for you, like you're originally from San Bernardino, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Moved here around 2006, and I've been here ever since. Went to school here, got my degree here in graphic design and marketing, and eventually got my career started here at the San Bernardino Police Department back in 2021 of December.
Yeah, that is cool because you are definitely a familiar face because you used to work with us up at Community Affairs, and now look at you.
Yeah.
Wearing your dress blues right in here talking with us. So it is amazing, and we are super proud of both of you guys. That is fantastic. What was some of maybe the hardest things or some of the things at the academy that, like, you guys didn't anticipate?
I would think there's a couple things. To start, it's funny because this is the easiest part for most people, but for me it was the memos. It's just all the handwritten stuff, you know, going to school – and doing that part was all typed. So going back to handwriting and then it's super specific on the standard that you have to meet. So that was just a struggle to get used to at first, as funny as that may be. And then we do have the privilege of going through the taser and the gas house and the OC spray.
What was that like?
There's really no preparing for that. You can't train for that. It's an experience to say the least.
Miserable.
But it's funny to look back on now and watch your videos and laugh on you gasping for air coming out of the gas house and people screaming and thinking they're going blind because the OC spray is stinging.
And everybody has their own thing of what they thought was worse. Yep. Like out of the pepper spray, being tasered, the gas house. Like what was it for you guys?
For me, it was actually the gas house. it's just the thought of not being able to breathe and you're just gasping hot. Fire air. So, and one of the funniest part of those moments is just trying to say your class motto in the heap of all things, trying to so they could get you out of there. But out of those three, gas, taser, or OC, gas had to be my worst.
I would probably agree with that. I just kind of how I explain it is you're drowning in fire, like you're just suffocating, and trying to gasp for that first good breath of air after once you get out of that gas house is you think you're never going to have that first breath, and you got all the boogers come out of your nose and all the fun stuff. But you know, it's all fun at the end of the day, and it's again another thing that's for a purpose, because if that happens to you out there, you know what to expect a little bit, and hopefully you won't panic like you did the first time. And
I will say it does get better the more you are exposed to the CN or CS gas, but my experience was exactly that. I felt like my lungs had collapsed. I was inhaling shards of glass and needles. You're right. Every, like, mucous membrane, you know, all of the snot and the boogers and the drool and your eyes are watering, and it is literally just you feel like you have breathed a bunch of fire, and it was absolutely horrible. Pepper spray I was cool with. Taser, we didn't love it, but it was okay. But yeah, the gas house was no joke.
See, now I had a different experience. Like for me, I'd be tasered again any day. I've had that a couple of times. Gas house, no problem. But that OC pepper spray, I was the last person or second to the last person in my class to recover. I had my head in a 5-gallon bucket of water. Looking around, I was like, is something wrong with me? Like, everybody else is like looking at me like I'm from a different planet. I'm still hurt. Like, it just happened. I don't know. Maybe it just affects people different. So, but for the listeners that are listening and like they're on the edge of maybe trying to apply somewhere or getting ready to go to the academy, any advice for somebody that's getting ready to go to the academy?
I would just say physically, get your physical body right. Run a lot, do a lot of cardio. Mentally, I would say try to have your family on board. I had the privilege of having my family help me out, and it really just alleviated a lot of that stress. And then from there, if you have the opportunity and you're able to go on a ride-along and try to see if it's for you or not, I had the privilege here working here previously just to see if that's something I wanted to do. And it did push me in the right direction, and it kind of exposed me to what's out there. So if you guys have the privilege of doing that and being able to go out there, I would say go do it, because you'll know real quick if this is going to be for you or not.
And any applicant or interested citizen that is wanting to, you know, pursue a career in law enforcement, they are welcome to come and do a ride-along with us. So you have to contact our agency and pick up an application. But, you know, you can absolutely go out and see what the streets are really about, see what the daily life of a police officer is about. And that really was the clinching moment for me as well. When I had, you know, gone on my first ride-along, I knew that this was the career I was really wanting. So absolutely. Come on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like, when you get out there and you're out, and you guys are going to love it. So as soon as you get, because you guys are going to be going through the FTO process, which we'll talk in a minute. But once you get all the way through that and you're successful at that, then you're out there on your own. Like, it really is a fantastic job. Like, yeah, you get in a police car. Yeah, you go handle calls and stuff like that starting out. But every single call is different, and every single call could go a different direction. Yeah. And that's what, at least for me, that is what always made the job so much fun, because you just never knew what you were going to be getting into. And it was always fun to kind of like test yourself to kind of see how well you were going to perform, which I thought even to this day was like a job like none other. And on that note, what does the FTO process look like? Like, what have you guys been explaining what that's going to look like? And how long is that, at least for here at San Bernardino PD?
Yeah, so it's about 18 weeks, and that makes up 3 phases and 1 ghost phase. So technically 4 total. So the first phase is kind of getting the lay of the land to start, at least, you know, learning the city, learning how the department operates and your training and doing that stuff. But you still have, again, you're still putting on a uniform and wear a badge, so you still have, you're still working. You're just kind of learning a little bit more to start. And then phase 2, you kind of start picking up a little bit more, from my understanding. You know, maybe you'll start driving if you haven't already. You'll start taking charge on some of the calls that you're on and being more of the primary officer rather than, you know, the assisting officer to your FTO. And then following that, assuming everything goes well, you go into phase 3, which, so each of those are 6 weeks, and then phase 3 is also 6 weeks long. And from there, you'll, from my understanding, you'll take on pretty much that primary role the whole time and have someone there evaluating you and, of course, being there to assist you and help you work through things, because there's a lot to still learn. I mean, again, we went to a basic academy, so now we're learning how to really operate and get through, you know, some of these calls. And then phase 4 is a week long, and that's a ghost phase, so you'll have your FTO there with you, but that's exactly what it sounds like. It's almost like they aren't there, just to make sure that you, once you get out there on your own, that you're going to be okay and not only be safe, but be able to handle calls correctly.
So you guys are going out, what, next week, right, for first phase?
Yeah, that's correct.
Awesome. Well, good luck to you guys.
Thank you.
Good luck to you guys, and thank you guys for being here. And in closing, anything that you could say, like, if anybody's listening that they're on the verge of, like, where they might want to be hired at, like, at least from my experience, it seems like all of our San Bernardino PD guys that go through the academy are a pretty close group. Like, is that pretty fair to say?
Yeah, I think we're pretty close. We had a strong bond in the very beginning, and even during our 2-week pre-academy that we had here, we got really close. And from there, you're deciding whether you're on the verge of applying, just try different agencies. If you want to work in a busy agency, just like San Bernardino, come out, and how Lieutenant Corral said, we're taking applications, and come out and do a ride-along. See if it's for you.
Listen to Bobby. Don't try other agencies. Just come to us.
And then also on that note, like if you're also wanting to know, like you can check us out on social media. Bobby used to run some of those, like he did the ride along videos and a lot of that stuff. And I know we get a lot of applicants through our social media. So if you're wanting to know what the job looks like here at San Bernardino PD, check that out for a little bit because it's high speed, low drag. So if that's for you, this is the place for you.
Definitely. Come on
down. Awesome. Well, thank you again, guys. And that'll wrap it up for another episode here at the Briefing Room. And again, I'm Chris Gray.
Jennifer Carell.
Officer Ryan.
Officer Rodriguez.
All right. Thanks, everybody, and take care and see you next time.